Good morning. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here this morning. If you will, take your Bibles and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3, because we're going to be looking at a few things in verses 16 and 17. The title of the lesson is, Who Are We and What Do We Believe? Now, I know that a lot of you here this morning have been a Christian for many, many, many years, and you're thinking that perhaps this lesson's not for you. But in reality, it is. Because as we age as Christians, many times we grow complacent, we grow comfortable, we like the little rut that we live in, and we don't like anything new. And because of that, I think it's a good idea to remind us who we are, what we believe, and what we should be. In reality, to sum up the whole entire lesson, we are disciples of Jesus and a people who are committed to the Bible. So let's look at a few things that we can find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Paul writes these words, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All. Three-letter word. All, not some. You know, people love to pick and choose. We cannot pick and choose which scriptures we want to obey. Can we? Can we pick and choose what we want to believe and what we want to do in our life as Christians? Psalms 119 and verse 60. Thy word is true from the beginning. Now, that's pretty significant, isn't it? And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Many times I believe that we think that the Old Testament, you know, all of those things that was done before Christ came on the scene and before Christ died on the cross, is not something really that we should worry about. But did not Paul just tell young Timothy that all, again, not some, not all, we cannot pick and choose what we like, what we agree with, what we think is going to make us look good? You'd be surprised at the people in the world that, yeah, they have a Bible and they read it and they look at it and they'll say, well, that's what this says, but that's not really what I believe. So, they're saying that not all Scripture is worthy of their understanding, not worthy of their time. But you know what? I believe that on the day of judgment, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if we have kind of just picked and choose what we liked and disregarded the rest, we may have to give an answer. And again, you know, I'm speaking to myself as well as everyone here today, because I've been a Christian for many, many, many years. And I'll tell you, it's easy to become comfortable. It's easy to fall into the trap of simply saying and doing and living without regard to growth, to study, and understanding. Because Paul says, all Scripture. Our focus is on Scripture, the Word of God, and not the works of men. Let's take the illustration of a manual. I know that most men here probably dislike me. They get something that has to be put together, and the first thing they do is start trying to put it together. Oh, it's not that hard. But then you get halfway through it, and what happens? Well, you've missed a process. You forgot to put something where it needed to be, so you have to tear it all apart. I'll tell you, I bought a little pantry to put in the kitchen over at the house. It looks simple, but when I started it, it turned out not to be quite as simple as I thought. So I had to get the little manual, the little bit of instructions, and read what part went where. You know, the problem is when we disregard all, and then we disregard Scripture, what do we have in the end? A mess. And as Christians, we need to understand that all Scripture is for us. Again, it's not something that we can take or leave. It's most likely that in the apostolic age, when there was but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and no differing denominations existed. Did you hear that? Back in the day of Jesus Christ, back in the day of the apostles, back when Paul wrote this to Timothy, there was one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There were no differing denominations. None existed. Yep, there were the Jews, and then there were paganism. The baptism of a convert by that very act constituted him as a member of the church. And as the time of his baptism, or her, he and she were endowed with all the rights and the privileges of full membership within the body of Christ. In this sense, baptism was the door into the church. Okay? I know that's a lot. But listen. Today, you'd have to get a book that listed all of the different denominations in the world. I don't know them all. Some denominations simply vote people in? Well, you want to be a member of our church? Well, we're going to investigate you and we're going to see if you're worthy. And if you're not, well, you may be able to sit there in the pew, but you're never a member. Some require that people agree with their statements of faith. Some require that you live by their documents of their denomination. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse starting in verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration. It's not what I think. It's not what this brother or that brother or sister says or thinks. What is our Christian life based in? Is it some denominational formula? Is it in some document that's written down that perhaps you may have to memorize? But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Scriptures were not merely written by good men. You know, there's a lot of people that believe that. They believe that the Scripture was written simply by good men. They were not inspired. So if that's the case, if the writers were not inspired by the Holy Spirit, then the Word of God is not inspired. Then maybe what we teach and what we believe is not true. Because men are fallible. But that word there, inspiration of God, is literally God breathed. And I'm sure you've heard that before. The Scriptures were not merely written by good men, but they wrote what God told them to write. But you know, some disregard passages that they read about in their Bibles simply because they don't agree with them. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." In other words, you know, I just didn't wake up this morning all of a sudden I wanted to start writing something and make it sound like it come from the Almighty God. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Did you know that? Did you understand the fact that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man? In other words, again, they just didn't, you know, Isaiah or Daniel or Ezekiel or Hosea or any of the other prophets, Moses. They just simply didn't wake up one day and thought, I'm going to start writing a letter. These men wrote because of God moving them by the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul tells Timothy here that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable, isn't it? It's profitable For what? Doctrine. Our teachings, our preaching, should come from the Bible. Right? Everybody ought to be saying amen and shaking your head yes. If a teaching disagrees with the Bible, it needs to be rejected. Flat out rejected. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." It's sad. But many today do not want Scripture-based sermons. They don't want them. They simply want socially correct talks to make me feel good. Make me feel good. Well, when we leave here, we should feel good because we were able to sing praises and worship our God, not because of what the preacher said. Our teaching should come from the Bible. Plain and simple. We can't change it. Paul says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Secondly, reproof. The idea of this word here is conviction. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Conviction. Believing even though we can't see. We can see the Word of God because it's printed down for us. But have we ever seen Jesus Christ? No. Have we seen the Holy Spirit? No. Have we seen God the Father? No. But we know He exists. We know Christ exists. We know the Holy Spirit exists simply because of what we're taught. As in our class this morning, we talked about the Spirit being the seal. We know that He exists. All Scripture is given by the inspiration or God-breathed, and it is profitable for doctrine and reproof. Unmovable faith, conviction. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Do we believe that? We should. It's Scripture. It was given to Paul by the Holy Spirit. Now, do we only believe what Paul is writing to Timothy? Or do we believe what Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians? But you know, the problem is many people has this mindset, okay? Don't tell me how to live. Don't tell me how I'm to live my life. I will believe in what makes me feel good. And that's a sad situation simply because there's many in the world today who will be lost and spend eternity in hell because they simply want to live life as they see fit, regardless of what the Bible teaches. because they pick and choose what they want to believe and what makes them feel good. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. The Bible corrects us when we go astray. You know that? It should. John 12:38. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, this is Jesus, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. This, right here, is what will judge us in the last day. So we better believe it. We better obey it. But again, too many times people will say, I'll live my life how I want to live. Have you ever heard someone say that? Don't tell me what to do. I got my own way of doing things. Well, that might be fine if you're trying to build something or put something together. But when it comes to the Word of God, do we truly want to live our life the way we want to? Or the way God instructs us to live? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, the Bible teaches us how to be holy people. It teaches us how to be godly people. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. First part, first verse. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, I'll guarantee you that there's going to be some people that you simply cannot live peaceably with. But that's not what that says. Follow peace with all men. In other words, be at peace with all men. They may not be peaceable to you, but you need to be peaceable. But you know, people fail because they reject so much of God's Word. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, simply because they fail to believe the whole truth. You know, as they say in court, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Perfect, thoroughly furnished. All we need is the Bible. We don't need any modern revelations. Now, I didn't say modern translations. I said modern revelations. But you know, many times you'll hear preachers say, Well, I woke up this morning and this is what God told me to say. A new revelation. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, brothers and sisters, that's me and you, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. This last part of this verse, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, telling me, and I'm hoping that it's saying to you, that we don't need anything other than the Bible. We don't need somebody else's think-sos. The Bible is all sufficient. Because Paul told Timothy, all Scripture. That word all leaves nothing out. We cannot say, well, that is not going to apply to me because, and give your excuse, but all Scripture. We believe in and we rely upon and we follow the Bible. So who are we? Who are we? We are a people of the book. And because of that, we also turn to the Bible for an answer as to what we must do to be saved. Don't we? We should. Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaching the sermon. Those that heard was convicted in their heart. And they said, men and brethren, what can we do? What shall we do? Peter tells them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It can't get any simpler than that. You don't have to take a test. You don't have to be able to quote Scripture from one end to the other. You simply have to repent. Change of heart, change of will, change from the old man to the new. Repent and be baptized. This morning, if you're here and not a Christian,